Lord, we bless your holy name. Lord, we magnify you because you are God. Yet that glorious name be lifted on high, even in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. He brought me out of the Mali Cray. Let's just sing the first stanza of that hymn, 1 and 2, please, together. And lo, in that pit where my sins drag me down, I cry to the Lord from that deep Mali Cray, who tenderly brought me out of golden day. He brought me out from the Mali Cray. He set my feet on the rock to stay, put a song in my soul today, a song of praise, hallelujah. He brought me out from the Mali Cray. He set my feet on the rock to stay. A song of praise, hallelujah. One, he brought me out from the Mali Cray. He set my feet on the rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today. A song of praise, hallelujah. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, you brought us out of the Mali Cray. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise him. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. You put our feet on that rock of ages. And you put a new song. New song in my soul. Even a song of praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That hymn is actually from the book of Psalms, one of my most popular hymns. The Lord brought me out of the Mali Cray. Amen. When you are in the pit sinking, pull you out. Not only did he pull you out, he put you on the solid rock. Amen. Not only did he put you on the solid rock, he put a new song, a song of praise. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Today, we continue with our series on what some call the redemptive names of God. But we probably will stop with this. Maybe if God gives us opportunity in the future, we may continue. But we have done Jehovah Nissi. We have gone through Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Shalom. Amen. And today we are going to do Jehovah Raha. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Some of the names that people through the scriptures have called our internal God. When he delivered them out of the Mali Cray, out of the sinking pit, when situation seems to be redeemable, and he come down and give them deliverance, they turn around and praise him by calling him these endearing names. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So let us, as usual, go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, just to set a tune about who God is to us. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Then let us go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. Malachi 3, 6, please. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And lastly, Numbers 23, verse 19. Numbers 23, 19. God is not the man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Somebody say hallelujah. So this says foundation that what God was, he is still today, and he will be tomorrow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jehovah Jireh, he became God that provided. He provided a ram in the thicket for Abraham in exchange of the sacrifice that he requested. In Jehovah Nissi, he became a God that fought our battles. As Jehovah Shalom, he is God our peace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then, all and all, there are different names, endearing names, redemptive names that people have used. Today, we are going to talk about Jehovah Raha, the Lord, our shepherd. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Taking from the psalmist, book of Psalm, verse 23, verse 1. The book of Psalm, 23, verse 1. Amen. He said this particular verse, everybody knows about it. It is used in wedding. It is used in burial. It is used in time of rejoicing. It is used in every aspect of life. When you want to show, when you want to prove, when you want to show God that you believe in him and that he's able to provide. And we talk of God who is able to provide in every avenue of our life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Every one of us have a testimony like this morning. We have quick testimony. People testify of how God even replenished what they have sown into the gospel in a moment of time. They took and gave. At the same time, he returned to them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And somebody said, for years we have gone through this. This year we have peace. This is what God can do in the life of his children. So say with me, the Lord is my shepherd. Everybody, the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not want. Or you can even change it around and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. And because I have him as my shepherd, everything I need is being supplied already. You can turn it around any way you want. And God is able to provide. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, it was David who called him Jehovah Raha in this area. And we, as God gives grace, go through the whole from 1 to 6. But for now, let's stop and wow. Jehovah Raha, the Lord our shepherd. The sweet psalmist of Israel, David, a man anointed by God of Abraham and appointed him, took him from the sheepcote and put him on a throne to become a shepherd for his people Israel. David was a man anointed. He had a threefold anointing in his life. Anointing of a priest, prophet, and a king. God anointed him to this post. He fulfilled them. He has a way of recognizing God, the way that God deals with him, the way that God has shown himself to, the way that God has proved himself to him. He used such word to come back and make a connection based on what God has done in his life, in the life of his people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So in a relative way, God, he uses God's name. He appoints these names to show what God has done. You know, in the Bible, David come and said, the Lord is my rock. Amen. In another place, he said, the Lord is my refuge. In another place, he said, the Lord is my shield. The Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my strong tower, my stronghold. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's a man of war, somebody who has gone through war, through a lot of trials in his life. In fact, in my opinion, after studying David at this point, I say that outside of Job, nobody has been tried like David. And I will bring it out as we go along. Nobody in the scriptures almost have gone through trials like Job, like David, outside of Job. In the scriptures, he has gone through so many. So when he starts to call God all this name, the Lord is my stronghold, is based on experience. The Lord is my shield, is based on experience. The Lord is my refuge is based on experience. And I know many of us are going through experiences of life. And we can apply these things to ourselves. What is a stronghold? A stronghold is a city, a citadel within the city. The major city is maybe 3 miles square in those days or 5 miles square or whatever. They have a wall built around it. But even after building that wall, they have a citadel, a stronghold, where they build specially as a place of refuge. If the outer walls are breached, if the outer ramparts are breached, if the gate is torn down and the enemy came pouring in, coming like a flood, they retire to the citadel. They retire to that stronghold. The stronghold is designed in a way to make sure that the enemy will suffer maximum damage before they can breach that stronghold. It's designed in such a way that people can retreat there and find refuge and find peace even in the midst of the turmoil that goes faring through until help or outside help come to get them out of that place. So when he's calling God, a man of war, a man of experience, he's calling God like a shield. A shield, of course, we know is something you use to deflect the incoming arrows, the darts of the enemy. This is David. So he's calling God. This is based on experience. And then in the, because I believe, having studied it, that this thing happened towards the eventide of his life. He turned around and said, not only is God my shield, not only is God my stronghold, not only is he my refuge, not only is he my help, not only is he my rock, my high tower, my fortress, he is also my shepherd. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The relationship of the sheep and the shepherd, we want to bring it up. But before we go there, for you to understand what David has gone through in his life, for you to understand where this man has been, the trials, the afflictions, the shame, the inhumanity of the treatment he has endured. I'll bring some of them out as much as I can remember. But David has gone through so many things in life which me, you, or some of us can relate to. David was born of the 8 sons of Jesse. The father has 8 children. Somehow we know that David inherited the work of a shepherd. The work of a shepherd in the field is not a good, very good job. It is a very lonely job. It is a job full of danger and risk. It is a job that is, in the daytime you are in the heat. In the night you are in the cold. You can spend months out in the wilderness without relating to anybody as a shepherd. Sheep is not the best of animals to work with. We're coming to that place. But David, even in this job, had to risk his life. He said in one occasion that a lion came and took the lamb, and I went after the lion and killed it to restore the sheep. He said in another occasion, a bear came. If me and you have a job whereby a lion will be attacking us and we're not shooting with gun, a bear will be coming after us in that job and we are not having a gun to defend ourselves. I believe all of us will tender our quit notice immediately and say, I'm done with this job. But it is job inherited that is given to him, and he did it faithfully, putting his life on the line. God in heaven saw who this man was. God in heaven saw the kind of heart he has that he even put his life to risk for an animal, a sheep of all things, to safeguard them against incoming enemies. Both enemies with 2 legs, because human beings also tried to take these things from him, and those with 4 legs, he defended this animal. God then, the Bible says, God took him from the sheep cult and appointed him a greater shepherd over my people Israel. So he sent Samuel and said, Samuel, go and anoint this David. It's a man that I see something in him. I thought the same thing of Saul, but Saul has left me. He has rebelled against the Lord. Go and anoint David so that he can become what? The king, the shepherd of my people Israel. So then Samuel went. But told God, this is a risky business you are sending me to. If Saul find out, he will kill me and kill David and kill whoever you send me to. So well, he hearkened unto the Lord. He came to the city of Bethlehem. And when he came there, the elders came afraid and said, my God, why? Because Samuel has thus said the Lord. And when he came there, they were all afraid. Say, what have you come to do? He said, well, no, I'm just coming to sacrifice. God have told him to hide. Why? The reason why he was already there. In secret, he went and called Jesse because God revealed that it is from one of the sons of Jesse that we are going to take one of them and make him shepherd, king over Israel. Because this man, as I say, bring your sons together. Your children, bring them together. It wasn't like immediately the next day or something, let's meet in this place. Because out of your children, that I will, God will take one and anoint him to be king over Israel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Guess what? David was such a minutia in the ranking of his father and family and everybody that he was not even invited to his own anointing or coronation. If some of the children have to go through that, they will be in therapy for the rest of their life because my family hates me, everybody hates me, everybody don't like me, nobody likes me. They complain even when they have everything in abundance now. How much more when you are the one doing the menial job? How much more when you are the one in the wilderness, in the cold, in the heat, in the affliction that a shepherd has to go through? But no, David was chosen by God, and even his own people did not recognize him. So he came out and then, that Samuel being a human being, saw the first son, tall, strong, huge, and looking like a king. I said, behold, the Lord anointed is within him. The Lord said, nope, that's not him. Okay, pass away. Second one, nope. Third, no. Fourth, no. At times I wonder why God does things like that. God has shown me things at times that I thought would be coming to pass in the next day or the next day. God may at times not give you the time or even the person or the exact word or things you are going to see through that process. But he just tell you, Emmanuel, in such and such time, or maybe not with such and such time, I will do this for you. And here am I come and start giving testimony. Say, the Lord has promised he will do this. And then 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years, time you start doubting, my God, did he even speak to me? Did I dream it up? Is he for real? But that is God. I don't fully understand it. How couldn't he have just told Samuel, hey, it is going to be David, the last born? But he didn't. Samuel just went through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Jesse, do you still have any child, any other child somewhere? Yeah, we have one. It's in the wilderness watching. Go and bring him. None of us will sit down. None of us will eat any of this sacrificial meal until he is here. So there he came smelling like a sheep poop, everything. I say, here is the man I've chosen to be the shepherd of Israel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Telling you what, the way man sees is not the way God sees. You might look at Emmanuel and count him as nothing, might look at you and count you as nothing, but God holds you in high regard. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. At the appointed time, your glory will manifest. It doesn't matter what it looks like now. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So now, David was poured oil, anointed by prophet of God, as the next king of Israel, and he probably went and did karawal, throw around and dance, you know, like that sister that rule on the ground from time to time where she's rejoicing. But did it happen like that? 15 good years from the time he was anointed to becoming the real king of not even all Israel, Judah. What this man went through at that time, I'll go through some of them to show you why when he said the Lord is my shepherd, for you to understand, for you to relate. After the anointing, they tell him, go back to the sheep. He might be becoming a shepherd again. I'm a king. No, go back to the sheep. Okay. Remember being a shepherd. In that place, he said he has killed an animal like a bear and a lion. You know that. But after he went there, after some time, he called him back one day and said, your brothers are in war. Come and take some food and go and give to them supplies. He went. And coming there, he had his glory at, towering over everybody and shaming the whole army of Israel. He put his life on the line again and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistines to speak against the armies of the living God? He went ahead after Saul had consulted with him. Wonder what this guy is going to make a breakfast out of you. But anyway, go on. He went and he killed Goliath and cut off his head. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then the women started singing, Saul has killed, I think, 1,000. David, 10,000. I said, my God. First, they would probably give him the kingdom. Then, from that day, he became an enemy. After some time, they looked for somebody who will help Saul when he has some situation to calm him down. Who get brought? They brought David. In this job, twice has Saul taken his javelin and threw to pin him to the wall. Who am I? Who are you? Me and you will stay with that kind of job. The first time, he missed him by inches. He didn't miss him. Saul was a man of war. He can take that javelin and throw through a loophole half 200 yards away. How much more in the same room with him? The angel of the Lord just pulled that javelin out of the way. He did it twice. Within that time, David has recognized that this man is out to kill me. Not just any man, the king of the whole Israel. He went on a run for his life. He ran from wilderness to wilderness, from mountain to mountain, from valley to valley, from cave to underground area for 13 good years. Saul gathered the armies of Israel, the captain of the wars, to seek for one person. At a point, David had to go into the house or the domain of enemies he has killed before. For what reason? Because he is anointed by God. The position that God has put you on, the enemy will challenge it. But at the end of the day, you will prevail in Jesus' mighty name. Do you know that within that time, before this thing happened, Saul agreed for him to marry the daughter on condition that he would go and get killed. Instead of asking him to provide cows or gold that people usually use as a trade for, you know, dowry or stuff, he said, go kill me 100 Philistines and bring their foreskins. What kind of father will ask son-in-law to do that kind of stuff? Go kill 100 of my enemies and bring that. He killed double. He killed 200 and brought the first kill and paid for the daughter of Saul. This man in the wilderness on two occasions had opportunity to kill the king of Israel. He was sleeping with about 3,000 people who came to hurt David. But know what? He did not kill him. He said, my hand will not go against the Lord's anointed. Saul woke up and saw the javelin and everything that David left there to show him, I could have killed you within a second. He said, my son David, I will never more pursue you. No. That's the end of it. I can see you a righteous man. You are better than me. No. The next few weeks, he's back in the field again pursuing David. Two times, did God expose the life of his enemy. And he spared him because his fear of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 This is the kind of person who God appointed to be a shepherd in Israel. David has to go through fire to get to that position that God appointed him to be. He said that, you know, when he was there, people start to come from different parts of Israel. The people that were coming to him are two groups, the good and the bad. When I mean the bad, the ugly ones, real ugly ones. He said, my soul, at a point, he said, I am forced to live among bandits. These bandits are, their teeth is like arrows and spears, and their word is like a sharpened sword. These are men that some of them could be murderers. Some of them are evil people. Some of them are everything you can think of bad. They congregated and said, well, David is on the run. We are on the run. Let us go and join him. He couldn't throw them away. They become part of him. But he endured among them. There was one situation that happened. I said, my God, the anointing of God in this life. There was a wilderness where they were staying, and an evil man called Nabal has sheep, about 3,000 sheep. His servants were there. Do you know that these people did not steal one sheep from this man? These people, David and his people, did not. In fact, the testimony of the servant of Nabal to Abigail that later became David, while we say, when we were in the wilderness, his men are like wall, a shield among us. They did not allow any evil. They did not steal from us. I say, what kind of anointing has become in this man's life to the point that these evil people will hear and obey? Do not touch that sheep. Do not touch that goat. Do not take from these poor people. Leave them. They are here to do a job. I've been a shepherd myself. I don't want them to miss anything. I have to go report to their master. And they listened to him. His good was turned to evil. When it was time to harvest and rejoicing because the season is ended, they came to Nabal and said, can you give us something just in this chair? At least we have been this to your servant. He caused them. He caused David. He did a lot of evil things against him. David has seen it all. David, even when he became king, his own wife despised him, made him nothing. Say, look at this king of Israel. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Shaming yourself, gyrating and dancing. Say, it is before God. Amen. Before the Lord who appointed me, who took me from nothing, from the sheepfold, and put me to become king of, over your father's house. If you think I'm rejoicing now, wait until you see. I will even rejoice more. I will even abase myself more. Because it is before him that I usher my praises. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's a man that does praises 7 times in a day. Go check it out. He praises, he dedicated time to praise God 7 times in a day. Rejoicing and praising God in the midst of all this affliction. He has gone through every kind of thing you can think of. Even his own family. His own son Absalom. Wanted to kill him, push him out of becoming king, so that he become a king himself. He went after David. David had to run for his life. Later on in a battle, he was killed. He even showed the evil nature of him, this Absalom, that he slept with his father's wives in the face of all Israel, on top of the roof, in the whole view of the whole Israel. That is the kind of trial he's going. Even spiritual battle, he fought it. David went through it all. His own sin, his own mistake, nearly finished him off. Go read Psalm 51. He had pleaded with God because he sinned against a man, sent the man to war, and took the wife. And God said, well, I give you all this. If you wanted more, I could give you more. Why would you do this kind of sin against me? Thinking it was another person, he said, well, I'm going to kill this person. He said, it is you. Nathan told him. Me? Yes. When? This. And he repented and went to God. Why am I saying this? I want to bring out that David went through every kind of thing in life. The spiritual, the physical, the emotional, everything. And based on this experience, hence we see a man who come out and say with an understanding that I want it to permeate into any soul that is watching or I will watch or that is sitting here this morning, that truly God is our shepherd. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want your soul and I want you to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Everybody say with me, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, let me tell you the difference between a shepherd and a sheep. A sheep is such an animal that they can, one of the worst animals to hurt. They are smelly. They don't have too much sense, just like me. They are always laborious in such a way. They go out of their way to just frustrate the shepherd. They go into the crags and get lost there. And they start beeping from them. And then the shepherd will start looking for him. The animals that come to kill them, they will freeze. They have no defense of their own. They are not like a elephant that has strength, or a lion that has his claw or teeth, or a crocodile that can defend with his teeth, or any other kind of animal that is equipped to defend themselves. David now related that he is like a sheep. And that this is a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd will even put his life on the line for the sheep. A shepherd will go and when the sheep want to drink water and the stream is raging, he will build an irrigation all the way out and create a cove where the sheep can drink in peace. A shepherd will see an animal coming to kill and he will stand behind between him and that this thing and the sheep. A shepherd, when the animals are jittery, or afraid and, you know, like something is in the wind, because if they stampede, they can fall off the cliff and die. And another one will keep coming and all of them will die. He will now even take and sing for them. A shepherd is a doctor to the sheep. A shepherd is a police or an army to the sheep. A shepherd is a friend to the sheep. A shepherd is everything to the sheep. And that is what Christ is to you and to me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We, like sheep, he said, has gone astray. But now we have returned to the shepherd and bishop of our soul. A shepherd looks at all these things and he's able to think, where is he going to get the next food? Where is my sheep going to get the next food? A storm is coming. How do I make sure they are sheltered? The wind is about to rain, and there might be a flood here. How do I raise them to a higher ground so that they stay safe? A shepherd has to do the logistics, the planning, everything to make sure that the good of the sheep is taken care of. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what Jesus Christ is to me and to you. Amen? Amen? So now, he says in Psalm 23 verse 1, let's read it. He says here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's go through the whole psalm. Go to verse 2, please, quickly. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's okay. Let's stop at 2. Let's look at that first. Go back to 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, there are different kinds of pastures in life. At times, you find yourself in dry weather pasture. At times, you find yourself in a place that is a desert. At times, you find yourself in a place that is, my God, why did God leave me here for now? But the intention and purpose of God will be fulfilled in our life. The ultimate goal of the shepherd is to take the sheep to a green pasture where they can feed. Don't never forget that. No matter where you find yourself, no matter where you are going through, no matter what is happening now, the ultimate goal of the shepherd is to make sure that you will lie down in green pasture. He lead me beside still waters, not raging waters, not overflowing waters, not the one that will drown you. The enemy can come like a flood, but the Lord will raise a standard for you in Jesus' mighty name. The shepherd does that to the sheep too. They raise a standard for the sheep. When the flood is coming, they take them to higher ground. When they are saying things, they already foresee or plan ahead so that the sheep will not be destroyed. That is what he, with all the accumulated wisdom, with all the knowledge over the years, he has run around as a man for 30 years, he was 30 or 40 years, he was over Israel. He got this, and I believe this psalm, as I said before, is probably written at the even time towards the end of his life. He looked at the accumulation of all this in what he was to the sheep and said, this is what the Lord is to me and to you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's go to verse 3, please. Amen. He restores my soul. I want to say that this psalm covers 4 areas that the Lord can provide. 1. That the Lord can protect you. that the Lord can also restore, amen, and he will also be able to set table for you in the presence of your enemies. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, he restored my soul. He leaded me in the path of righteousness, not for your sake, not for any other person's sake, not for your husband's sake, not for your wife's sake, not for your children's sake, but for his own sake, name's sake. There is an investment a shepherd has made on the sheep. That investment is that there is a reward in the work of a shepherd to the sheep. And that investment is not going to allow it to waste in your life. Therefore, he will do things. He will put himself on the line for you if you need be, just because he wants to preserve that investment. For God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, me or you, anybody, that believe in him should have eternal life. The purpose and intention of God is to give us eternal life. That eternal life, that shepherd will fight hell. He will fight dungeon. He will fight everything to make sure that by his grace, we will make it into that promised land. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Let's go to verse 4, please. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The staff of the shepherd is to guide the sheep. The rod is what they use, at times it's spiked on the head, a short stick, something they use to fight animals that will come and take the sheep. He said, I do what? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's a comfort to you that the Lord God is watching over you with a rod of iron against the enemies of your soul. That though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, like sometimes the shepherd will take through, there's just a green pasture across there. There is a canyon around here. There is desert around here. But this place is full of wolves and animals and things that when the sheep is passing will become a danger. But he needs to get to where they will get that green pasture. At times you will find yourself walking through them. David has had to take his sheep through dangerous zones. Has to take his sheep through areas that he knows there is danger there. And intentionally or not, he walked through them. But he said, yeah, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where there's risk at every corner, where the enemy is poking and trying to dislodge you from every angle, he said, I will do what? I will fear no evil because of what? For thou art with me. Your rod and your staff is right behind me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to 5, please. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, the Lord will prepare a table. I like this one very much. Amen. The Lord will prepare a table for you and for me in the presence of my enemies. Amen. Do you believe that? I say I like it because I've seen God do it on few occasions. You know, the shepherd, one of the things they do is that at times the sheep is not able to eat because they are afraid of, they can smell the wolves. They can smell the lions or the bears that is out there looking around, and they are jittery. So the shepherd will now build a cove, a kind of a fence. He will go and get bamboo bush, thorny bush, and create a distance, and create a big distance so that the sheep will go inside this cove and feel safe. And he himself will have one opening. In that opening is where he sleeps. And then he will bring the food, cut glasses and whatever, and bring there so that the sheep can eat in safety even though there is surrounding dangers. He said, though you prepare a table, that God will prepare, that God is able to prepare a table even in the presence of my enemies. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That he will anoint my head with oil, and the blessings of God will make a way for your cup to run over. A cup running over is when it is filled shaken, pressed down, and running over. In other words, the bountifulness, the goodness of God, the mercies of God, the kindness of God will run over in abundance in your life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Lastly, verse 6. Verse 6, please. Surely, this is a confession, that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I say, as long as you dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, let me warn you about this. Goodness and mercy God have ordained to follow us. But sheep cannot. A sheep, it is a dangerous thing for a sheep to try to survive or exist by themselves without the care of a shepherd. Remember that this is true. You cannot run away from God. You cannot run away from the shepherd. You cannot go out there in the wilderness, in the desert, in the bush, and accept the protection of the shepherd. That's why he said that of this you have given me, there shall be one shepherd and one fold. One fold meaning all of us together, combined together, in one place, in the Lord. You cannot go outside there and expect protection. There is no protection for the sheep when he walks away from the fold. The shepherd, out of love, can, if the other ones are secure, go and look for that sheep to bring him back to the fold. The shepherd can only watch after you if you remain in the fold. The world is calling on many of us to come out of the shelter that the Lord has given us. As I was reading this, I said, Lord, but there are so many people who are out there. They are blessed with children. They are blessed with money. They are blessed with whatever you can think of. And they don't even remember you. They don't give you glory. They don't know anything about Jesus Christ. And the word of God came to say, but say, they have lost it all. I say, lost it all. He say, yeah. Without Christ, without eternity, for what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own very soul? He said, forget they are spending 50 million for a wedding, or 100 billion or whatever for a wedding. Unless they come back to the fold inside Christ, he said, they have lost it all. For their soul, what is most important to God? What is most, what God wants from us of more than any other thing? The salvation of our soul. So don't be jealous of them, he says. He said they have lost it all. God wants them to come back. I pray that they will come. But there is nothing out there really for us. We have to remain in the fold. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's quickly read as we round up. John chapter 10, verse 27. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will do what? Follow me. Now there is a voice that over the years the sheep has come to know. He said, if another man will call them, he will not listen to them. My sheep know my voice, and they will do what? Follow me. You are called as sheep of the Lord. Christ being our shepherd and bishop of our soul. We have to listen to that voice. We have to know that voice. We have to know when it's telling us, Emmanuel, don't put your leg there. Don't go there. That is not the way. We have to realize that he is doing it out of love for us. And if you are truly a sheep of the Lord's pasture, you will hear him. And it is called rebellion when you know, when you hear him and you deliberately walk out of the way. Well, the good shepherd is still with us. He can still come back and restore you, but you have to be willing to come back. So if you are listening here and you have wandered away from that fold, if you are listening this morning, we will listen later on, and you have wandered away, the Lord is telling you there is nothing there. The people you are jealous about, the people you think they have it all, the Lord concluded they have lost it all. The only thing for me and for you is to come back to the fold. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For I say again, what shall it profit a man? That's any profit, whether it is in gazillion dollars or $1 billion or trillions of dollars you made it, if you lose your soul, you say, what profit is it to you? There is eternity for the people that believed in the Lord. There is everlasting life for you who have. And that is the greatest goal that we, me and you and all, should come back and believe God so. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Just for sake of that, let's read John chapter 10:16. John 10:16, quickly. He said, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also must I bring, and they shall be hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That shepherd, there is only one shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Let's go to John 10:11 quickly. John 10:11. There is a good shepherd, and he says, I am what? The good shepherd. The good shepherd will even give his life for the sheep. That is what David did when he fought the bear. That is what he did when he fought the lion. That is what Christ did when he went on the cross for me and you. The good shepherd will not only defend, protect, provide, but he is more than willing to give his life for the sheep. Yes, Jesus truly loves us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's read Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Hebrews 13, 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. Amen. Through the blood of everlasting covenant. Amen. Not only is he a good shepherd, he is also a great shepherd of the sheep. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Peter 5, 4. Please, quickly. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, amen, this is all that is all about it. When he shall appear, that sheep will not be lost. You will not be lost from the fold. He will then do what has been the purpose and plan of God from ages. Ye shall receive what? A crown of glory that fadeth not away. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody say blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the whole purpose. That when that chief shepherd shall appear, because he's coming back again, nothing will hold him. There's a time that he will come. And we believe it is in our time. That chief shepherd, that good shepherd, that bishop of our soul, the great shepherd, he will appear. And if you remain in that fold, you did not run away from that fold. And by the way, there are people who haven't entered the fold. Let's say you are sitting in this church this morning and you have not entered that fold. I implore you to come into that fold. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ to come into that fold. For that is the only place there is life. So that you shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Every other crown man has faced away. You go to the museum, those that wore it are died and gone. They don't know of the glory that it brings, nothing in it. But there is a crown that will not fade. And that is what Jesus Christ has promised me and you. Brethren, I want to go back to the simple part before we close, that Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. I know many of us are going through valleys and things and life, and at times it looks like it's not there for us. But that is not so. Christ says, my eyes is even on the sparrows of the field. That our soul sees for a dime. How much more you that are created in the image of God? Life trials, disappointments, frustrations, things you are believing God for, they are waiting on the line, and all those things. Those are things that shepherd knows and plans for you. And he will bring his own in his own way solution. The way God prepares us can be very hard. But that doesn't mean that his love for us abate by any measure. God is still God. The great shepherd is still the great shepherd. The good shepherd is still the good shepherd. And the chief shepherd is still the same. His whole purpose is that maybe through all that you go through, this is all it is about. And at times I can say that God does not really care how you are dragged in, how you are pushed, as long as you get to this point. Because he made it clear, I said it for the third time or fourth time here, you can gain the whole world and lose your own very soul. That is not what God wants. The major thing is that you receive that crown, the crown of glory that faded not away. For before him, when we come, they say, there shall be no more tears. Amen? As we stand on our feet. There shall be no more sickness. There shall be no more sorrow. There shall be no more pain. Because all the old things are passed away. Because everything has become new. To get you there, God will take that ship through even the valley of the shadow of death. But even when you are passing through that valley of shadow of death, and the thorn is pinching you, and the animals that will swallow you and devour you is looking around, know that the great shepherd is still watching you. He will lead you through. Therefore, let us exercise our heart to say that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thy rod and thy staff is still with me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I dare say, those of us who are appointed as many shepherds, let us be careful. Those of us who are appointed as shepherds for the Lord, you know, like David was faithful in his house and received a bountiful reward, let us not lord it over the Lord's anointed. Let us walk in meekness and in love towards all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody say, praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise team, you can come over now. The good shepherd, the great shepherd, the great one is with us. He is in everything with us. He is our shepherd. He can be your friend, will be your physician, maybe your doctor, will be your provider, your helper, the lifter up of your head. That is what he is to us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To God be the glory. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Receive all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.